RTI.
The most beautiful sound I've ever heard.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Marcus James Smith, a man who did indeed create some of the world's most beautiful sounds. And yet Marcus James Smith left the stage almost 50 years ago and was never to be seen again. He stepped back into the spotlight as that rebel without a cause, a thought, or any sense of consequence, Mr. P.J. Proby. He was the ponytailed pirate who wanted to ravish your wife and your daughter. And you know what? He gave Elvis a run for his money. If Elvis was the king of rock and roll, then Jim was the emperor of torch ballads. He took the world by storm with his performances of classics like Maria and Somewhere. But on songs like Together and Hold Me, the dark romance of his voice became a banshee howl, and it had the music establishment heading for the hills. Jim had just about everything. He was outrageous, he was provocative, he was sexy, but above everything else, he was drunk. His career came to an abrupt end in the late 60s when his trousers split on stage, revealing nothing more than a rather nicely turned knee. In the 60s, we were all battling for freedom of speech, but Jim couldn't even sing for his supper. Now he's in his 70s, but like a true romantic, he still believes that he can make his rock and roll dream come true.
It's Lee Banks.
Hello?
Lee Banks. Spoke to you about the Late Show on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Just a very quick call, just to say, the shows you're doing now...
The show I'm about to do?
Yeah, the shows you've been doing.
Yeah, in May.
Yeah, in May. Are you classing this as a comeback? I know you've not been away. I know you've been doing shows.
I've never made a comeback. Just the audience went on vacation.
I understand.
I've always been here. They didn't allow me to work for 40 years.
Who's that? Who wouldn't allow you to work?
The system. I was banned for 40 years. They didn't allow me back on the popular stage until 2001.
Why was that?
Because of the pants-spitting thing.
Well, I know about that. Yeah, because I armed in Luton, didn't they?
It happened a couple of places, you know. There's no sense in going into that. That was Margaret Whitehouse. Mary Whitehouse,
of course, yeah.
The Morals Committee, which doesn't exist anymore, but that had me banned for 40 years.
Is that really? There actually was a proper ban?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't allowed to work the pop music circuit. I did plays and everything in the West End, but I couldn't work the pop music circuit.
I see, I didn't realise that. I knew about what had happened, and I knew, you know, that you hadn't worked because of that, and I knew you'd done a few stage plays and things, but
yeah.
I didn't realise it was actually an official ban.
Well, yeah, it was an official ban, and, nobody would touch me.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't believe that. Incredible. So that really, right.
I was banned from all audience ranks, anything that had to do with the rank organisation.
So really, it screwed your life up, didn't it?
Anything that had to do with the Delphonts, the Grades, any of those people.
I see, it was like that sort of thing, was it?
Yeah.
Was it just simply because of the pant-splitting incident?
No, it had nothing to do with the pant-splitting. It's too long of a story. It was,
yeah.
Gordon Mills brought Tom Jones into my place, but that story has never been told because his son threatens to sue any paper or anybody who puts out the truth.
Well, what was the story?
Gordon Mills... do that because I was too popular.
Yeah.
So Mary Whitehouse said that she would find a way to get the public on against me.
Yeah.
The morals charge. And so that they could take the money from Gordon Mills and put Tom on.
I would say, right, yeah.
And that's how it happened. Once I'd been banned from the ranks, the audience, and all the great and Delphi theaters and everything, then they could put Tom on.
Yeah.
And it looked like I had been banned from my pants, buddy.
Well, I assume at that time you were a bigger name than Tom Jones, weren't you?
Their time was, his first record had just come out.
Right, so yeah. Because you were in England, at least, for one period, you got more of a, you were more of a crowd puller than Elvis.
Well, I was the next big thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why Gordon had to get rid of me.
That's amazing. And that's that, you never told that story.
And Engelbert wasn't even in on the scene because he was, Engelbert was just a singer on Saturday Club, and he had to get on stage and imitate the top 10 records that were out.
Is that right, really?
Yeah. When I would go on Saturday Club, even when Tom went on Saturday Club,
yeah.
You know, we'd meet Engelbert, and then he would, the last time I met Engelbert, he said to me, it was easy for me to imitate you on all your hits and everything except one, and that was Together. And he said, I couldn't hit that high note. And I said, don't feel bad, sport. I had to set my nuts up in my throat to get myself.
Could you still do it now?
Oh, yeah. I just started putting it back in.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah, because I'd never done it because I didn't have time to do it. They banned me too fast. And when I went into the nightclub stuff, I took all that music out anyway. And Buddy Brakeman, who did all for Bing Crosby, wrote me a nightclub act.
Yeah.
So I never did any of the teenage music when I was banned from the theaters and sent to play for adults only.
I see. You're right. I didn't realize that.
I never did any of my hits.
Yeah.
Except for Somewhere in Maria.
I remember those. I've got to say, I'm not trying to curry favour here, but I thought you were a far better singer than Tom Jones.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
No, I did, honestly. I really enjoyed what you were doing.
I just didn't have a good manager like you had. Gordon Mills and Colonel Parker and managers like that. If you don't have a good crooked or homosexual manager, you will not make it in this business.
Well, I've heard that said before. Yeah, I know. You say, but you know, we talk about a comeback. Obviously, you don't consider this to be a comeback.
No,
you've just not really been away.
Comeback.
But what do you hope to achieve after this? Do you want to, you know,
just continue working?
Yeah.
Maybe one day get lucky. See, they won't let me back in the hit parade because they're afraid of me. They know it. I have too much longevity, and also, you know, they can't take all my money away from me. I'm too old and too knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And the record company won't touch anybody that they can't do that to.
I understand. So, have you got no plans to record anything?
I've got my own record company and everything.
Have you indeed? I didn't know that.
I sell all my records and everything at my shows and everything. I just can't get a distributor to put it out in Woolworths or anything. I can't find a distributor anyplace. I've got loads of records on my label.
Really? What sort of stuff do you do now?
Anything I want to.
Yeah.
I'm just about to go in tomorrow and cut about five or six things from Broadway. And I'm doing one that I've always liked called Autumn Leaves.
Oh, right. I know it, yeah.
But I'm doing it just with me and an open hole classical guitar.
Yeah.
Like that girl did... what was the Judy Garland first hit? Rainbow.
Eva Cassidy.
Eva Cassidy did Over the Rainbow. I'm going to do that with Autumn Leaves.
Right,
I'm
really?
I'm doing that tomorrow, the next day.
Excellent. Do you play guitar? We have a...
But I've got people who can really play it. Hell, I just beat shit out of it, like Elvis. But no, I'm here in Evesham, you see, I've got my pick of anybody I want. All the ELO are retired here.
Oh, right.
And all of Joe Brown's brothers are retired here.
Really?
Everybody is retired around me here. I had, what's his name? The Who that just died.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah, the bass player.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
of course.
Here. And funny enough, even Paul McCartney's daughter lives here.
Is that right, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realise. I'll tell you, I was talking to a few weeks ago, you probably know them, Stan Webb.
Stan Webb?
Stan Webb, Chicken Shack.
Yeah, I never met them.
No, because he I'm sure he lives in Brownie.
Good. Evesham is a retirement spot. I came here because it was just no high-risers and just one big ranch.
Yeah, really?
So I grabbed 5 acres of it, and that's what I do. I ranch apples and plums and open it to the public every August.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something I saw in a newspaper article. I don't know if they had, and again, you know, I accept what you say about newspapers, but having been a Sun reporter, I know what goes on. That's right, exactly. Well, one of them said you'd actually got a vineyard.
Yeah, it is a vineyard. It's 5 acres of apples.
Oh, right, that's right then, yeah.
Yeah, it's 5 acres of apples and plums. And also, what's his name from Led Zeppelin lives up here. Not Jimmy, but the other guy.
The singer?
The singer, yeah.
Well, see, now I forgot his name.
I can't remember his name, and he was my musician on the album 3 Week Hero. It was all of Led Zeppelin, but of course, that was just before they turned Led Zeppelin. They were, the New Yardbirds then.
Yeah, that's right. Robert Plant.
They told me that night, said, we're leaving for Los Angeles to do some work there, PJ, and when we come back, we're going to change our name and we'll be your backing band. We're going to call ourselves Led Zeppelin and we'll be your backing band. I said, you're going where now?
Yeah.
He said, well, to San Francisco. I said, where are you going there? They said, the Cow Palace, and they named another place. I said, yeah. I just came back from there. And I didn't, and you know, I had a, my band was Canned Heat, and I can tell you something. I'm going to tell you all bye right now because I'll never see you again once you go there. You're going to go be so big.
Yeah.
Because you're that type of act.
Yeah.
And I did. I never saw him again.
Really?
They became Led Zeppelin, and that was it.
Yeah, but Robert Plant we're talking about, aren't we?
Robert Plant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a place up here.
I didn't realize that either.
He's got one in Aberystwyth where I've got a place down there too.
Oh, right. What's something else I read, and again, I'm only asking you this to sort of, you know, discount it. You did a single that got banned with Madonna.
No. Somebody put that, I think that might have been somebody from the Manchester area, but no, they put that out, and I was living somewhere up in Charlotte Bronte's barn.
Right.
And I had no idea about that. And all this was going on while I was helping guys with their lambing and bringing in the hay.
Yeah.
But I heard they got Madonna threatened to sue them and everything. Yeah, put me on a train, loaded me up with bourbon, took me down on a train to do the Jonathan Ross show.
Yeah.
And came up to me, but we got down there, and I don't know what was going on. They came up to me and said, we're gonna film outdoors and everything.
Yeah.
And after we filmed outdoors and everything, they said, now we got to catch a train. And I said, well, we haven't done the show. He said, we're not going to do the show. He said, apparently Jonathan Ross didn't know I was going to be on the show. And when he found out, he said, oh, no, I'm not having him on the show. Here's his money, pay him, but I won't have him on the show. If I wanted, what did he say? Unsafe sex, I would get Tom Jones. That's what he said. If I wanted unsafe sex on my show, I'd get Tom Jones.
God, honestly.
Not DJ Proby.
That's terrible.
But he paid me not to go on. And apparently I got even drunker on the train, took all my money, and I was giving it away to everybody, all the poor people on the train and everything. They had
really?
To knock me out to save my money.
Really? You don't drink at all now, do you?
No, I haven't had a drink now in like 15 years, going on 16.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you find it, though?
Easy with it. I still keep a wet bar in the house because I don't trust a man who comes over and doesn't have a drink.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants tea or coffee, they got to make it themselves. I don't know how to make that shit.
So you don't miss not drinking anymore, then?
No, I don't, because I realized... After I'd done those plays, you know, after I'd done Good Rock in the Night and Roy Orbison and Elvis,
yeah.
And I'd gotten my health back and everything, that I'd never needed it. My voice was not only as good, it was better than it ever was, and I didn't have the Dutch courage to go on stage and everything. I just didn't realize that I didn't need drink to do all that.
It's a funny thing,
yeah. And when I realized it, I just thought, Jesus Christ, you know, all my life I've been running from a ghost that wasn't going to do me no harm. Well, I drink about 5 fifths of Jack Daniels a day. I drink a whole fifth or maybe even two before 12 noon.
Really?
If I was up.
Yeah.
Because I would go days and days and maybe weeks without even going to bed.
Really?
And then I'd go to sleep and maybe wake up 3 days later.
Yeah.
That's if I wasn't working.
Yeah.
If I was working, I'd never let it get in my way.
But you still drank. You didn't stop while you were working.
No, I didn't, but I could control it because I'd been drinking so long. I didn't get stumble-bum drunk on stage.
Yeah. It's a strange thing, drinking, because I must admit, I've really enjoyed my drinking career, but I've cut it back a bit now.
Well, unless it's doing you physical harm and everything, which eventually it will.
Yeah.
Then there's no sense in, if you're just drinking socially and everything like that, and to have a little fun here and there, no, that's okay. But see, I went to sleep with a drink in my hand and woke up with a drink in my hand. I've never understood how the musicians can drink and take dope and play at the same time. I still don't to this day.
Well,
it sure is no good. Jimmy Page and all of them, they drink and drugs and everything and still get on the stage and cut it.
Absolutely, yeah. I know. I'll tell you, Bob Dylan, for one. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him recently.
No, I haven't.
But his shows are absolutely phenomenal again.
Really?
Really incredible, yeah. But he
great.
Went... Sorry?
I said that's great because I've never gone to a Dylan concert, but on television I've seen some of his performances in the old days, and I thought he was crap on stage.
Really?
Well, just a guitar, he was just another folk singer from Greenwich Village.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I've never met him. All of his group of people that worked for him and Joan Baez, and they stayed in my house in Chelsea in 65.
Really, yeah.
And they were all just loaded to the gills on LSD and dope all the time, and I was just a drinker and everything.
Yeah.
And they thought I was something really weird, a drinker. And I woke up one day, and the house is really quiet, and I looked at the end of my foot of my bed, and here's this picture of this really freaky-looking guy with hair down to his ass. And just a really... And I took it, and I went downstairs with the picture, and there in lipstick on my mirror was... If you love PJ, do something for him now. He hasn't got long.
Really?
Because the dopers thought I was going to drink myself to death. And they'd all left. And I took the picture to my managers.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, this is that new freak, Tiny Tim.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
A year later, he had a record out. Tiptoe through
the tulips, yeah.
But they had left that on my mantelpiece a year before he had the record out. And I had not... a clue who it was. It was an old buddy of theirs.
Yeah, amazing. Have you still got it?
No. I had my house robbed so many times and things stolen. I haven't got anything I ever had.
Oh, right. I see. I'd say when our paths first crossed, but it was a long time ago, when you were living in Prestwich in Manchester.
Oh, yeah. That's when I was married to Dulcie.
That's right, that's it. Yeah, because I was working in Manchester at the time.
Yeah.
And there was because you used to drink at the pub called the Halfway House, didn't you?
Oh, I drank at every one of them. But I think our big one in Preston was the Grapes.
The Grapes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was only about 300 or 400 yards from our front door.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so basically, you lived everywhere all around this country.
Everywhere in England you could think about living.
Yeah,
in the past 43 years, 45 years.
Why do you never go back to the States?
I do. I go back every Christmas to help sister with all the... We raise polo ponies. And we let our Mexican hired help go back to Mexico at Christmas, so I go back and help sister with the ponies.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
you got horses over here?
No, I haven't got... there's so many rabbits on this property that I couldn't have horses or any kind of livestock because... They'd step in a rabbit hole
and break
their fetlocks or their legs or something like that.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Enormous vet bills because I won't have an animal put down.
Yeah. Why is that?
I just won't put them there. I won't take a life of even a fly. Nobody can even swat flies in my house. The flies even sit on my shoulder and I feed them steak.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because they're part of the human race. They were here before we were. When I die, I'm gonna be cut up and have parts of my body fed to all the animals that I ate while I was alive on Earth. parts of me fed to sheep, parts of me fed to cows, parts of me fed to fish. Every animal that I ever ate, I'm going to let them eat me when I die.
I think that's absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it as well.
Just come up with, we ate them to stay alive, and they can have me to keep on going.
That's right, yeah, yeah. All right, Joe. Well, listen, Jim, thanks for talking to me. I'll leave it now. Do you want my phone number, just in case you...
Let me go and get a pen.
All right.
I just got up and I'm feeding the rabbits here. I've got about 2,000 rabbits to feed.
Really?
You know, all the wildlife.
Yeah.
Just rely on me to feed them every night.
Is that right, really?
Yeah. So all the rabbits, I just say, carrots! thing all the way up to the front door.
Amazing. Amazing.
Let's see. Okay, what is it?
It's Lee Banks. It's L-E-I-G-H, then Banks.
B-A-N-K-S?
That's it. And my number's... As I say, if you've got any problems or you need to talk about the show or anything, just give us a bell and I'll sort it out. But it'd be nice to have a chat in the future, if that's all right with you. Yeah, because, if you could, it'd be
especially
nice.
In the summertime, I've got a yard full. My yard looks like Honolulu, full of palm trees and everything.
Just is that right, really?
Out in the palm trees and watch the rabbits and everything go about their business. I've got about 5 foxes that keep... They've adopted my little red dachshund. They think she's a cub. So I've got a dachshund dog, but she's all red.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, like a fox. And they think she's a cub.
Well, they come in there in the garden as well, are they?
Oh, yeah, they come in the garden. I feed them. But Tilly chases them off because she thinks that they come to see her and play.
Yeah.
And the foxes don't know about... They're not tame enough to know about the word play yet. They're tame enough to know food and who's handing it to them.
Yeah.
But they don't know about playing, so she scares them off.
I see. So are you actually trying to tame them, really?
Well, you don't try. You let the animal come to you, and he gets used to that.
I see what you mean, yeah.
You've got him coming to you and trusting you.
I understand, yeah. Right, yeah. So you've got rabbits there, you've got foxes and palm trees.
Foxes and all the birds. The robins come in at night. It's going to snow tonight. It snowed 4 o'clock this morning, about 3 inches around.
That's right.
It's gone now because it's rained. But the robins, I leave the top of the windows open all around the house. They come in and they sleep in the bed in the living room.
Really?
Yeah, I keep a heater on for them down here.
Yeah.
And I come in and I let them out in the morning. And so far it's only the robins that's come in.
Yeah.
But, the other ones might. 4 or 5 pigeons used to come down the chimney, but they haven't been doing that lately.
Really? So you actually leave the heater on for them?
Huh?
I say you leave the heater on for them.
Yeah, I leave the heat on for them in here because I'm sure the only reason they come in is because it gets so cold out there. I've always liked the wildlife, and I'm glad they let me in on their life.
Well, that's right, yeah. I think it's a good way to look at it, actually, yeah. All right, well, listen, Jim, I'm going to shoo off now, but thanks for talking to me, and like I say, any problems,
Lee.
Give us a bell, and if it's all right with you, I'll give you a bell in a couple of weeks, and maybe have another chat about something.
Yeah, give me a ring soon and let me know exactly when he's calling. I won't remember from now till next Saturday.
Oh, okay, I'll give you a call during the week.
That's too long for me.
All right, I'll give you a call, Thursday. Friday.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, all right, mate.
Okay, babe.
Cheers.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hi, Jim, it's Lee Banks. Banks.
Hello there.
Hiya, you all right?
Huh?
Yeah, listen, there appeared to be a bit of a problem last Saturday.
Yeah, I was here, nobody called.
They called, but the phone was off the hook.
Oh, no, it wasn't off the hook. I've got mice that chew through the wires, and I didn't know it was off, that they had chewed through.
Oh, right, I see. Yeah. We tried a couple of times, about 4 times to get through, but that's obviously what it is.
No, I had to go to a Tesco's and buy a new wire.
Oh, right. Telephone.
I've got 5 acres of old field mice and everything here, and they just eat through my wires all the time.
Bastards, isn't they?
Yeah. I came down the other day, the kitchen was flooded, they'd eaten through the washing machine.
You're joking.
No, that's the third time in a month they've eaten the hoses.
Really?
Yeah.
God, well, can't you do anything to stop them?
Well, when I go on tour, I'm going to have the exterminators come in, as long as they don't put anything on the grounds, because Tilly will eat it.
That's a dash out, yeah.
And if they use those boxes, it's okay.
Yeah, I understand, yeah. Well, they kill the rabbits, though.
It'll kill the rabbits if they put it on the grounds, but not if they put those boxes out.
Oh, I see.
Where the rats run in the boxes.
Yeah. All right. It's bad news, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, look, you can't afford to keep replacing stuff
I've
like
had
that.
It ever since, for all the 8 years I've been here, I've had the same problem. And it's about this year, every year, this time every year.
Well, that's it, yeah, because I live out in the countryside, and they start to come out now, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, can we have another go at it tomorrow?
Yeah.
It'd be quarter past eight again, is that all right?
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is get it...
So he's really leaving it really late at that time of night, you know?
Yeah, what the problem is, because I've tried to get it earlier. So that's all right, so I can get that rearranged for tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow at eight, huh?
Yeah, that'll do. I'll tell you what, you know, last time we were talking about your autobiography. The problems you'd had with that.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can't get that published, you know.
Well, I can get it published tonight, I can get it published tomorrow.
Well, that's equal.
£60,000.
Which, you know, is reasonable, really.
Yeah, sure it is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But, there's a big market. I was just going to say, because mine is similar in a way, but there's a really big market in what's called the inspirational novels now. And really, your story is the archetypal inspirational story.
Well, I know that. It's just up to the publishers to know it.
Yeah. Have you not tried it that way?
What's that?
Have you not tried presenting it to them in that way?
I don't present it to them in any way. I stopped doing that a long time ago.
Oh, right, I see.
I'm advertising for publishers now. I don't go knocking on the doors anymore.
No. I think you should get it published, mate. I think it should be a really good story.
I don't have the time to mess around like that. You know, whoever wants the story, everybody knows it's written. And whoever wants to pay the money can approach me.
Well, you know,
I don't have the time to go messing around looking for publishers.
Yeah, well, you're not exactly
screwed. It's on the internet. Everybody sees on the internet that I'm looking for a publisher.
Is that, yeah, you got it on the internet, there you go. Yeah. The best of luck with it, I'm looking forward to hearing it, I'm sure it'll be really good.
Okay, Sport.
Alright, mate, I'll speak to you soon. Cheers, see ya. Everybody, I'm pleased to say that he's back next week.
Radio Tatras International, from the heart of Europe to the world.